God is good, yeah? You're very welcome to Liberty Church. Can just let me invite you this Wednesday evening to our vision night. This is a very important evening for us. It's so important we've cancelled everything else in the church so that you and I have an opportunity to come. Everything on the agenda is off the agenda for this week so that we can all be available, enjoy time with your family if you're usually out on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night or a Friday night. Enjoy time with your family. But on Wednesday night, please do come in to Liberty here in RD Street. All of the locations will be in. People from Finglas and Clondalk and Bray will be all here. We will have food. We will have a bit of crack. We'll have information on things that are coming up, inspiration on things that are happening, inspiration on things that are going to happen in the near future and over the next couple of years, and also invitation for involvement. So because it's not just Noel's church or someone else's church, it is our church. And together we can reach a city, believe me. Together we can impact this city. No matter where you're at, no matter where you're coming from, God has placed you in this place for this time. So you need to know what's going on. You need to know what we need to head into the future. You need to know what's being asked of you. You need to know the calling out of your gifts and the treasure that you have so that you can be a part of this. So it's this Wednesday at 7:30. It's going to be some food. There's going to be information, inspiration, and invitation. That's four things. We put the food up there. It's because we love food. And so let's pray before the Word of God. Do not miss this night if this is your home. I don't care who gets shot in EastEnders. I don't care who gets killed in Coronation Street or wherever your package is. It hasn't got a patch on being here. I don't care if the Champions League is on. I don't care. You've no excuse. Be here or you don't get into heaven. I'm only messing. Someone will go on depression. I'm not going there. Well, Father, we just love what you're doing in this place this morning. We love what you're doing in our lives and through our lives. We love, Father, the fact that you've called us for such a time as this, Lord, to impact the city of Dublin, Lord. All of us together, Lord. Every single one of us, Father God, has a part to play in your plan, Father, in this city, in this nation, and even the nations, Lord. And we consider it a privilege at this time. Amen. Amen. Just want them... David, Ed Ray, to give us a wave. David over from the States. Say hello to him on your way. And he's going to be over in Ireland in some place as a missionary to this nation. And we welcome you, Dave, and you're very welcome to Liberty Church. You know, I have a few things in my heart, and I just want to get to the end quick, you know, that way. And it's not a sermon because I don't know where it's going to go, but it's a message. It's something from God that he wants us to have today. And I was developing it over this week, and I got the chance to share this, some of it in Finglas last night, and it builds as you go on. It's just the way it is with God. But I want you to know about a prophet in the Old Testament. His name is Zephaniah. And Zephaniah, in the book of Zephaniah, if you want to go there, we'll put some scriptures on the screen in a few moments. But I want to give you some of the history and the background to this prophet. Zephaniah lived during one of the worst times of the history of Judah. He lived under the evil reign of the king Manasseh. I don't know whether you ever read the book of Kings, but there were some horrible, horrible people that was kings of Israel. There were some people that were just like monsters. There was people that like didn't do anything for the people. There was people, kings that like followed other gods and sacrificed children to these gods. And Manasseh was one of the worst. In fact, I think it says when you read the Kings that there was nobody worse than Manasseh. And this was the reign that he lived under, this prophet called Zephaniah. Now, a revival was going to come soon enough in Israel under the king Josiah. And we'll talk about him in a minute. But these things were, when Zephaniah was speaking about, when we hear what he has to say, he was under this evil, evil king. But Zephaniah had royalty in him. His lineage was traced all the way back to King Hezekiah, which made him of royal blood. And Zephaniah is speaking up about the lack of justice and the lack of oppression. Not the lack, but the fullness of the oppression of the poor, and how the wealthy was getting wealthier, and how they gained their wealth through violence or fraudulent practices. The king introduced
evil practices to worship Baal and to worship other gods that demanded human sacrifice. The people, as a result, turned their back on God and settled for the lies of what? The other gods had to bring. And it was in the midst of all of this, Zephaniah, God raises him up. And he knew the inner things that were going on because he was in the inner sanctuary. He had royal blood in him. He was in the grounds of where he would know the inner workings of what was going on. So he was saying things from the Lord, but also with a bit of knowledge of what was going on in the city. This is what it says in Zephaniah 3. The guys can put it up there. And he's speaking to the city, and he's speaking to the people, and he's speaking to the heavenly places about the things that God had to say. And he's describing, when you hear this prophecy, he's describing what's going on in the city. And he says, "Whoa." Now, when the Bible says "whoa," it doesn't mean "whoa, stop." When you see W-O-E, it means there's something going to come on your head when God says "whoa." It's an awful thing. It's when, like, God is saying that there's judgment coming on you, like woe to you, that there's going to be a lot of mercy need to be applied, or there's judgment going to come. And he says to the city, "Woe to the city of oppressors, the rebellious and defiled. See, you obey no one. You accept no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to God. The city, her officials within her are like roaring lions. Her rulers are even in wolves who leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are unprincipled. They are treacherous people. Her priests profane the sanctuary and do violence to the law of God. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no wrong. Morning by morning he dispenses his justice, and every day he does not fail. Yet the unrighteous know no shame." Can you hear the anguish within the prophet of him speaking to the city? Now, this could describe my life or my community or my city. And there's things in this that you go, "Whoa, am I holding? I'm not holding the things of God with the honor that they should be. Am I being oppressive to anybody?" And then as a city, that we look at the city and go, "My goodness, you could speak that to my city, Lord. You could speak that to my community." When I read some of this, the city where the oppressors are. That from whatever level of society that people are being oppressed, and people sing songs and tell stories out of the oppression. Just look at all the political broadcasts were on last week, and you hear time after time people being oppressed and people being depressed and people being robbed and people being taken for granted and people's money being taken out of pockets. That's not from somebody hanging around the back streets of Dublin. That's being said about our officials. The rebellious, those who have no time for law, and those who have no time for the things that have been put down. That could describe my city and your city. She obeys nobody. She accepts no correction. My goodness, I could take that from the city and bring it right down to my own heart. She's not trusting in God. She doesn't draw near to God. Her officials within her are roaring lions. You know what roaring lions do? Devour. Do you know what evening wolves do? They leave nothing for the morning. They pick and pick and pick and pick, take and take and take and take. Her prophets are unprincipled, are not holding to the things of God. Her priests profane the sanctuary and do violence to the law. And her unrighteousness, no shame. My goodness, just go into the city on a Saturday evening and you see that unrighteousness somehow knows no shame. What a place to be living in. And he's prophesying this. This sounds a doom and gloom thing, doesn't it? This is like, these are heading for destruction. And God says in Zephaniah, he speaks about what the nation is like. He speaks about what the city is like. And he also says, listen, these oppressors don't get away with this stuff. That's what God said. He says, we think these are getting away, and they thought you were getting away with it. But Zephaniah says one word more than any other prophet in the Old Testament, and there's only three chapters in it. He says, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, over and over again, that there's a day of the Lord. It means that those who think they can just oppress the poor, and those who think they can get away with stuff, and those who think they can just kill our people in our city and shoot our kids in the head, those who think they can just get away with this, he was saying, there's a day of the Lord. There's a day of reckoning. There's a day when all of us, all people, will have to stand before Almighty God. And those who have no time for Him, have never come under the blood of Jesus, they will stand before God. If not in this world, they will stand in the next life before Almighty God. And then He says, but listen, it's not all doom and gloom. He says, but something good is coming down the pike. Something good is coming. Yet it looks nasty. Yet there is nasty things going on. Yet there will be a day of the Lord. But I want to tell you that God has a plan and a purpose for the city. And He goes on to say these things. And this is what He does. So He's after giving all this stuff. You can imagine people listening going, man, we're knackered. If this is all there is, we are doomed. Because that describes the city. That describes where they were. And He's like, if God is just a God of vengeance, if God is not a God of mercy, well then this city is going to be wiped off the planet. You could imagine what was going on in that city that the prophet was raised up to speak against these things. Then it goes on to say in chapter 3. It says, sing, daughter. Sing, shout aloud, O Israel. Israel, be glad and rejoice with all of your hearts. Daughter Jerusalem, the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you, and never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp, because the Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves, He will take great delight in you. He loves you, and He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. The Lord says, I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss, which those who are burdened and have reproach on you. At that time, He says, I will deal with all who oppress you. I will rescue the lame and will gather the outcasts. I will give them praise and honor in every place where they'd suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise amongst the people of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Amen. Amen. He's singing. In the midst of all of this destruction, the Lord says, I want you now to hear something. That I'm going to come and I'm going to lift off shame. I'm going to lift off guilt. I'm going to lift off fear. He says, Now this was in the midst. This was in the midst of the destruction. This is what I love about this. This wasn't when all got good. This was like God saying, the evening wolves are out, the oppressors are out, but I want to tell you, in the midst of all of this, I'm coming. And I'm going to bring my song, and I'm going to bring my sound, and my song will set the captives free and the prisoners out of prisons in the midst of all of this. Now, what we're left with is where do we stand? Do I look around my city and get depressed? I want to tell you, I don't. Because I know God has a plan and a purpose. And so I can settle on the evening wolves and hear them howling. And I can settle on the lions that roar, or I can settle on God says that He's going to come. And He's going to do something incredible in this nation and in this city. And I start to focus and align myself on what God says is going to happen, as opposed to where I look around and see what is happening. And wherever you align yourself with will determine how you pray, how you praise, how you live, how you walk, how you talk, how you raise your children. It will all determine. If you go, you'll go into a survival mode. Keep me kids out of schools. Keep me kids away from everybody. But if your kids are going to be part of winning the city, we'd be sending them out without fear. We'd be sending them out with things of God. It just depends what we're looking at. It just depends what we're hearing. And I love this. God says, I rejoice over you with singing. You ever heard God sing? Do you ever hear God want to sing something over you of love and acceptance and peace and joy and hope and future and destiny and all the things that He has stored up for you and for me? He says, I rejoice over you with singing. He says, and when God is singing, He says, I'm going to lift off shame. I'm going to lift off fear. I'm going to lift off oppression. I'm going to lift off depression. I'm going to lift off you. Why? Because I'm going to sing over you. What an incredible thing. In the Bible, in Lamentation, it says, God's mercy are new every morning. Why is that? He wants to give us a new song every morning. He wants to send us out of our house with the fact that God is rejoicing over me. God is singing His songs over me. And the reason why He wants to sing over us. In fact, I think in Psalm 136, let me get my facts straight. In Psalm 136, it says 26 times, His mercy endures forever. You can't. You know, I would think, why don't I say, good thing God said, my mercies are new every night. So that, you know, you go through the day and you know you need a bit of mercy again, you get to night. Because you've done things, said things, thought things. There you go, gosh, I need your mercy, Lord, tonight. And he twists it around. He wants us to start the day with a song. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, oh God. Great is your faithfulness. Now he wants us to enter into the day with the song in our heart. He wants us to enter in. My goodness, God is great. God is merciful. Do you know where I was? Do you know where I was? And he's merciful. That doesn't set you singing. I'm telling you, you need your vocal cords to be taken out and given to someone else. New every morning. And here's why God wants us to get the song. Because when we get his song, we resound it into the earth. See, we're the song of the Lord now. We get his song, we sings over us. And we get it. When we get it. Do you know why people are not generous in church? Because they didn't get the song that he's generous. You know when people are a bit tight about forgiveness? They don't get the song that he forgives us. And then in turn, we resound it back out. No, look, I know you done me wrong, you bald brat. But listen, I forgive you. Why? Because God forgives me. Those who love much will love much. Those who are forgiven much will forgive much. Those who have been shown mercy, show mercy. We resound what we hear of God back into the earth, back into the city. So those who got it in Zephaniah's day, when they were looking around at the oppressors and people were depressed about the oppressors, then the people that got the song of the Lord say, look here, it's for the time. It's only for the time. It's only for the time. They don't get away with it forever. God is good. God will do what he needs to do in this place. And those who are depressed and say, I'm never going to make it to anything. No, yo, don't say that. Because he'll give you every place you've been put to shame. He says, I'll give you one. Every place. And when Josiah came into kingship, Zephaniah was still there. And Josiah, you read it when you go home, brought revival to this city. That the things that were being done wrong was now being corrected by this king. And Zephaniah kept his eye on it, and he kept saying, like, we want to resound this into the earth. We want to resound it into the earth. You know what your testimony is? A resounding into your family and into your community and into the city, the good news of God. I was blind, now I can see. I was in prison, but now I'm free. It was all of that type of sound and that type of resounding going in. I want to do something in regards to this resounding. I know he's never taught I could play guitar. What do you want? I'm going to prove it. Who wants to be my assistant? John Hyland. It's my beautiful assistant, John Hyland. Adam is going to put the sound up on this guitar. But I'm going to sing to the guitar. And the guitar is going to make a sound back to me. Because what it's doing is resounding to my voice and my words. It better work. Holy, holy, holy. What was it doing? Responding to my words. Responding to what I was singing, that it was reverberant. In fact, I believe that if you put that through a scan, that you'd get like an MRI scan. If you put that, those strings are vibrating like 100 miles an hour when someone sings to it. That those little, that we can't see them even moving. It's like, right, because they're responding. And that's what resounding, and that's why God sings over us, because he wants us to reverb. He wants us to resound what he's singing to us. And if we're bitter people, then all we need to hear is the song. Oh, we need to hear the song of grace and mercy. Go, Lord, you know what? I don't know why I act out of this place. You just haven't heard the song of healing yet, son. You just haven't heard the song of... And God says, I'll open your ears to hear these things. And in fact, this is what has happened, and I've been reading up on... in a scientist journalist this week, reading up about DNA. And in fact, this is what they have found about our DNA, the very things that we are encoded with as people, that they resemble musical notes. that God has put encrypted in us, into our very essence of who we are. He's put this music in us. And that when he sings, we respond. That's why the Bible's full of sound and song. He puts a new song in our heart. Why? Because we've heard the song of salvation. We've heard the song of deliverance. And then we sing the songs back out to God because we've heard them. That's why John Newton came up with "Once I Was Blind, Now I Can See." Amazing grace, how sweet that sound. He heard the sound of grace. Grace is encoded with a sound that when we experience it, that we sing songs back to God. "I was blind, now I can see. When I get there, I'm going to sing for 10,000 years just to say how grateful I am to you, Lord." Because he's encoded us with the very sound. It says this in this journal that I've read. It said this, that humans have long to link. Humans have long wanted to link music to deeper, grander themes in nature. Most notably, astronomers from ancient Greece, right through to Kepler, who came up with a Platonic believed that as the planets ran their course through the heavens, as the planets were moving through the heavens, these guys believed that they created an achingly beautiful musica universally, a hymn in praise of creation. But it turns out that the universal music does exist. Only it's closer than we've ever imagined. It's in their very DNA. They were believing that when the planets would move, that the planets would make a sound that was creating, that was worshiping the Creator. And these heathen people believed this, that it would be a song of praise to creation. But we know that it's not to creation, it's to Creator. And that God has put this in our very being. That's why when you become a Christian, singing just seems to be just part of us, doesn't it? Because he has made it this way. And the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians. "Just as a body, though one have many parts, but as it is many parts, it forms one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not cease, no matter if it says that, it would not cease to stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact," this is it, "but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to." You are placed exactly where God wants you to be placed, to do what God wants you to do with your personality, with the way you view the world. Yeah, he might have to redeem all of that stuff. He might have to bring redemptive viewpoints or viewfinders to the way we see the world. But God has created you. And he's placed you in the body for the simple reason that if a wind blew through here, it would make a certain sound. But see, if you were missing, the same wind would blow through, but it would have a different sound. Why? Because you're missing. If a wind blows through the forest, it makes a sound. But see, if one leaf falls off a tree, the sound is different. God has you where he wants you to be. In this city, in this nation, in this church, in this time, with your gifts, with your talents, well, because he wants to resound through you to this city that God is good and God has a plan and God has a purpose. That's why you're important. That's why this vision night is important. Now, if you're not involved and you're not there, we want to invite you into it, because then the sound of the Lord into the city will have a good feel to it. And you go, like, there's something missing. There's an oboe missing. There's something in the orchestra of God's playing the tune that he just wants to bring out into the city. But where's such and such? And where's such and such? Get them. Find them. Go out this week. Bring them up. You need to be here because you need to be part of the orchestra of God. No matter what's happened, no matter where they've been, no matter if they've been hurt, damaged, disappointed, let down, they've broken other people up, whatever it is, ring them and say, "Come back in. Come back in. Because we don't want you out on your own." Amen.